إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، the prior two times that I was here, the first time prior to the last one, we were greeting Ramadan. And my lecture was about how we welcome Ramadan. The Jum'ah was how we welcome Ramadan. And as you probably recall, it was 48 hours before Ramadan began. And we said how we greet Ramadan with repentance. The second one after that, which was in the middle of Ramadan, we talked about fear of Allah, taqwa, the fear of Allah, and how the taqwa is the core of what, in the purpose of what Ramadan is all about. That's the purpose of Ramadan, because Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And today, we're in the last days of Ramadan, the sad Friday. There's no other Friday in Ramadan. This is it. Ramadan is slipping away, and it's slipping away quickly. But that's not how we let go of Ramadan. We don't say, oh, there's only a few more days left. That's it, we kick back and relax. No, as you know, if you were ever on a track team, they tell you, your last moments in your shuttle or your mile or your 2 mile, save your energy for the last moments, because that's when you need to sprint. And that's what Ramadan is all about. Yes, don't kick back and relax and go to sleep and say that's it, Ramadan is going away. Ramadan is valued, every single day of it is valued, especially these last 10 days. They are the most important days of Ramadan. You know, one of the first Laylatul Qadr, listen to this first Laylatul Qadr according to some scholars. The first Laylatul Qadr was the day Jibreel goes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the cave and says, Iqra, Iqra. In the Prophet, what do I read? Iqra, recite. What do I recite? Iqra. What do I recite? Tell me, what do I recite? He got so afraid. When he looked outside, Jibreel's wing had covered the sky. And he said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Why did Allah terrorize him like this in his first mission? In the first revelation, why? Why in that first Laylatul Qadr? This answer is simple and clear. There is a huge mission coming up. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We're going to give you a huge mission. When you get a huge mission, you don't go to someone and tell them, hey, listen, there's a huge mission over here. You have to jump inspire them. You have to inspire them so they can take down this huge mission. That's to lead this whole ummah. The same with the last 10 days of Ramadan. Inspire yourself in these last 10 days of Ramadan. These are the most important days of Ramadan. The days of forgiveness. Every moment of these is a day that Allah forgives us. The Prophet ﷺ used to search Laylatul Qadr in the first 10 days. When he didn't find it, he told him it's in the second 10 days. When he didn't find it in the second 10 days, he went in the third 10 days searching for Laylatul Qadr. What's Laylatul Qadr, ya Muslimin? You know what Laylatul Qadr is? Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. Better than 1,000 months. You know what I mean when I say better than 1,000 months? I say if you're caught worshiping in this night, it's like 1,000 months. One night. One night. Look at this deal. Look at this bargain. One night equivalent to 1,000 months. Break it down to you more clearly. One night equivalent to 83.33 years. One night equivalent to 30,000 days. One night. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. Now you who wanna invest, who know about the stock market, if I tell you, you put in $1 and you get a return of 30,000, what are you gonna do? You're gonna jump to it. You're not even gonna think twice about it. Allah showers us with mercy. Allah brings down His mercy and we tell Him, ya Allah, we want it. Take it back. People are watching TV in Ramadan. People are committing sins in Ramadan. People are doing things that Allah doesn't want them to do to Ramadan. And He's telling you, one night is equivalent to 30,000 days. You know what that means? You could get caught in this night doing that which Allah ordered you and you'll be a free man from hell for you. You know why? Because Allah, with the Prophet ﷺ, when He used to talk about the people of Badr, He used to say, don't you know, some of them committed some huge mistakes. Huge mistakes. Big. One of them committed treason. One of them talking about the honor of the Prophet Muhammad. And the Prophet says, they fought the battle of Badr. What do you want me to do? Maybe Allah told them, go do what you want. Your sins are all forgiven. You know what he means? Is there anyone whose sins are forgiven beforehand other than the Prophet? No. You know what he means? He means they did something so huge in Badr when they stood against the army in this holy month. It was 1,420 years ago. In this holy month, they stood against an army. Their deeds are so much deep in the balance that whatever they do sins, it's not going to escalate them to be more than their sins. That's the same to you. Imagine you get caught one night doing 83 years worth of work. You're going to live 83 years? 60 years is your life expectancy. You get caught doing that, and you got a ticket to heaven, ya Muslimin. A ticket to heaven. That's the first thing you keep in mind. You do a good deed, it's equivalent to 30,000 days. Equivalent to 83.33 years. Equivalent to 1,000 months. That's the first thing. The second thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whomever gets up the night of Laylatul Qadr, you know what amazes me and what really gets me mad? When I get a question, when's Laylatul Qadr? You cheapo. You cheapo, when's Laylatul Qadr? As soon as one of the 30 nights. Isn't it worth getting up every single night? 30 nights. Assume it's in the first and the second 10 days, in the third 10 days. Isn't it worth getting up? What night is it? Oh, you're going to live 29 days out and choose your cheapo of Allah? Cheap with the one who granted you all this wealth, all this ni'mah, the eyesight, your hands, your power, and you say, when? It's Laylatul Qadr. No, brother, it could be the 25th, not the 27th. Yeah, subhanAllah, how we're cheap with Allah, and how Allah is generous with us. How Allah wants to shower us with mercy, and we throw the mercy back at Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. You get up the night of the Qadr, ليلة القدر, and all your prior sins are forgiven. Look at that. How generous can Allah get? You commit sins and sins and sins. You come up in this night and you wash all those sins away. What more do you want? What more do you want? That's the second thing I want you to keep in mind in these last 10 days. The third thing I want you to keep in mind is dua. The forgotten ibadah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Worship is ibadah. It's a core of ibadah. Something we forgot. Being humble to Allah, sharing tears to Allah, asking the powerful, the all-powerful for anything you want. Is there anyone who has a problem? Cry to Allah. We run to the left and the right, and we forget Allah on top of the skies. We run to every direction but to Allah. Is there anyone with an illness?
Shakir to Allah. Shakir to Allah. Is there anyone who needs something only Allah can give? Ask Allah. Wallahi, I know of a woman. Wallahi, wallahi. In the Saudi month, in the Saudi day, I know of a woman who had breast cancer. They told her he's going to die in 2 months. She said, let me make Umrah. Let me make Umrah. All the doctors in her country, you're going to die. 2 months. And she went to Umrah and drank Zamzam and cried, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. You think Allah let her down? She went back after the Umrah waited for death. You know what happened? There's no trace of cancer. Allah, the one who gives people, you probably know people, years and years they can't get a child. They raise their hands to Allah, and Allah showers them with that with their wish. They want a child. The cause of love is a child. It can't be a child. They go to every doctor. The doctor says, it's impossible you have a child. They turn to Allah, and then the next thing they know, his wife is pregnant. Zakaria, Rabbi Habli, he's an older man who can't have a relationship with his wife. His wife cannot bear children when she was young, nor when she was older. He turns to Allah, Rabbi Habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Oh Allah, give me a child. فنادته الملائكة. As soon as he got up, محراب was a room where he worshipped him. As soon as he got up, فنادته الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب أن الله يبشرك بيحيى. Good news, يحيى is coming. Allah, the one who in the Quran gives you example of every dua he can do. Every dua. The things beyond your imagination. Who thought Zakaria could have a child? Why? The one who gave Zakaria that child can give you that which you wish. How big or how small it is. Noah has people after him. And he threw him in the desert. And he makes dua to Allah. Rabbi inni makhlubun. Fantasar. They overwhelmed me. They're all against me. The world is against me. I'm by myself. Rabbi inni makhlubun. Fantasar. What does the reply come back down? فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا. He was dying out of thirst. Allah doesn't give him 2 drops of rain. فَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ. We open the sky for him. That's not a specialty to Noah. That's to every one of you. فَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْحَمِرٍ. We open the sky. Why? We shower him. Enough? No. وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا. We broke the earth. Springs out for him. All for Noah. Because he said, Rabbi. And you? Yunus. Everyone have a dua. The ones that had a disease, Yunus, and he had a disease. He turns to Allah. Allah cures him of the disease. Every single miracle, almost in the Quran, you have a general example in the Quran where Allah responded to the dua. And us, we turn to everyone but Allah. When we make dua, we don't even make the appropriate dua. Wallahi, yesterday I was leading Tarawih here. And behind me, we're making qunut. And someone's cracking his fingers. Wallahi, I know I usually control my temper, but I wanted to break the salah and slap him a slap of reality. I don't know who it is, but behind me, someone cracking his fingers. Ya Rab! We're saying Ya Rab! And he's out there cracking his fingers. This is the ummah that we have to. I'm not talking about that brother, I don't know who it was, but I'm saying that's the reality of the ummah today. He's standing in front of Allah, he has no wisdom. Could you go in a job interview and crack your fingers? Could you go on some of the President Bush if you were to meet with him and say you crack your fingers? But Allah, yes, we crack our fingers. Where's our khushu'a? Where's our khushu'a? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal used to say, I tell you whose dua is accepted. Who, Ya Ahmad? He said, the one who when he makes dua is as though he's on a ship. That ship is destroyed. It's destructed. And all that's left is a piece of that ship he's hanging on. Could you imagine yourself in the middle of the world, in the middle of the ocean, and you're on a little tiny piece of a wood, holding on it, and you're making dua? إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. Feel you're talking to Allah. That's the key word. You're sincere to Allah. You're humble to Allah. You drop tears for Allah. تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. What's the reply, Ya Allah, if we did this, make a sirata to you? فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. The reply comes right down. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. Yes, that's how we do it. Where are those people like Ibn al-Mubarak? Ibn al-Mubarak was working one time. Ibn Wahb says this about Ibn al-Bukhari. He says, we're walking behind him. He's a giant, a scholar, a huge scholar. One blind man in the street says, Ibn al-Mubarak, he hears the caravan, the crowd, and the students of Ibn al-Mubarak coming by. He says, Ibn al-Mubarak. He said, yes. He said, make dua for me, I'm blind. He said, may Allah return your eyesight back. Ibn Wahb says, wallahi, on the spot, his eyesight returned back. Is that too much for Allah? Is it? The one who took the eyesight, he can't bring it back? But the question is not there. The question is in this ummah, where those people make the dua? We got ummah that crack their fingers for dua. That's the problem. That's why we are in the mission we are in. Allah can't destroy the Jews who are annihilating us in Palestine with the dua of one man. He can't. Where's those men like the Sahaba who raise his finger in the battle when the defeat is there? He says, wallahi, Allah, you're going to give us victory. Wallahi. He doesn't say Allahumma. He says, wallahi, Allah, you're going to give us victory. Yes. That's the kind of ummah we need. This is the third thing to keep in the Gaza states. Duha. And it's a huge topic. Third thing to keep is duha. In fact, it's more important these 10 days. If you look at the verses of Siyam in the Quran, when they start out and when they end up, in the center of them, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. If they ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I'm close. The only question in the Quran where Allah does not say and tell them I'm close. Every question is said and tell them, and tell them. Every question in the Quran. The only question, if they ask you about me, Allah gives a direct answer. I'm close. Ujib, I answer your call. If you call, إِذَا دَعَانَ, if you call, Allah doesn't care about what's in your heart, in the matter of dua, you have to say it in your tongue. In relationship to dua, you have to say it in your tongue. What's in your heart is different for the purpose of dua. Yes, keep this in mind. The fourth thing you keep in mind is in every day of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ says, are those whose necks are free. You know free from what? Free from hell, meaning you're a slave of hell. And every night of Ramadan, there's utaqa from the nar, free from hellfire. You know what it means there? If back in the old days when the Muslims had a slave, and you let that slave free, even joking. One of the things we don't accept joking in. You tell your slave, go, you're free, that's it, he's done with. You can't say, come back, I was mistaken, it was a joke. That's not one. That's a human being. Imagine the generous of all generous Allah. He frees you from hellfire. Is he ever going to slave you again? It's one night, you're Muslim. That's your night. Your night is not your graduation night. Your night, my sister, is not the night when you apply. Your night is this night. Is that night when you're freed from hellfire. That's the night of your night. You're free. That's it. Go do. The Prophet ﷺ says, after you pay the Eid, after Ramadan, Allah tells those people who are awarded this reward, go back to your houses. You get your degree on the Eid. When you pay the Eid, go back to your houses. Like the day your mother gave birth to you. The day your mother gave birth to you what? Free from sins. Go back to your houses and the Eid. But that's not someone who slacked off Ramadan and then dressed up and went to the Eid. No. This is for someone who woke up all night and prayed all night and did the fasting all night and strived to fight the Eid of Qadr. At least in the last 10 days. These are the 10 days we are in. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the last 10 days came in, ahya alayhi. You know what ahya lillah means? He doesn't know what sleep is. No, doesn't know what sleep is. His mattress, he folded it up. No time for sleep. Ahya lillah. Wa ayqadha ahla. You know what ayqadha ahla means? Can't stay up alone by himself. He woke up his family or his wife. Get up. The sisters wake up their husbands. The husbands wake up their sisters. No time to sleep. This is the last 10 days. You know the other hadith we see other than Ramadan, the Prophet used to pinch Aisha when she's sleeping. Because he wanna make sujood, she's in his way, she's sleeping, he pinch her. The situation is different in Ramadan. You can't sleep, Aisha. Get up and wake up and pray to Allah. وَشَدَّ مِئْزَرَ. You know what شَدَّ مِئْزَرَ mean? You know if I was gonna go play, I remember actually when I used to play soccer when I was young in this store back in overseas, when we went to play soccer, goes with my shirt, wrap it around my waist and hold it tight, and then start running and play. Shadda mi'zara, meaning he's after Ramadan, he's after Laylatul Qadr, he's rigorous after, there's no time to rest. Every hour slept, it was probably taking glances sitting down. That's the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Laylatul Qadr, you know what Laylatul Qadr is? We're deprived of Jibreel coming down to us, deprived of Jibreel coming down to us, because the Prophet's no longer amongst us. In Laylatul Qadr, Jibreel comes down. تنزل الملائكة والروح. Ruh, Jibreel. Al-Malaika, masters earth with peace. And at night, Laylatul Qadr, you know what Laylatul Qadr is? When Allah brings down from the Lawh al-Mahfud, your destiny of that year. Ahmed Jibreel is going to die that year. Abdullah is going to, something's going to happen to him. Muhammad is going to get awarded. He's going to get a good job. He's going to get fired from his job. He's going to commit this sin. He's going to go there. All that happens in Laylatul Qadr, and you're sitting there sleeping. Your destiny is written for you there, and you're sitting there not worshiping. I'm asking, give me the best. Laylatul Qadr, when Aisha radiallahu anha asked, what do I do in Laylatul Qadr if I find it? He told her the dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. فَعْفُ عَنِّي. Oh Allah, you're forgiven, so forgive me. You know what afu means? Not forgiven. Not forgiven. Forgiven is a lower level than afu. Afu is a supreme, supreme level. Afu. You're the afu, one of Allah's names and attributes. Meaning, forgiveness is for minor sins. Afu, the one who you make one sin and you repent. He brings you another sin, you do another sin and you repent. In a third and you repent. In a fourth and you repent. That's the afu we're talking about. Al-afu, the one, you know, if one of the main differences between al-afu and al-ghafur, if you come and ask me and forgive me, Ahmed, I tell you, let me forgive you. The follow-up question usually after that, are you mad at me, Ahmed? You may forgive, but you still have a feeling. The same with this one. Al-afu, no feeling. That's it. It's erased. It's done with. Al-afu. That's why in the Quran you find al-afu only to the major sins. Not major. We got minor and major. I say you only find al-afu to the most major sins. The most ones. وَإِذْ وَعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. When he went for 40 days, Musa alayhi salam, for 40 days to meet Allah, his people worshipped the cow. What a sin! A devastating sin! But when they repented, ثُمَّ نَغَفَرْنَا. نَغَفَرْنَا. غَفَرْنَا to small for this huge crime they committed. ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. عَفَوْنَا. You know how big it is? When those who ran away in the battle of Badr, one of the biggest sins you could commit. The biggest sin. Fleeing from your enemy in the battlefield. That's a huge sin. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ اَلْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا. وَلَقَدْ غفر لهم. No, Allah forgave them, but it's not ghafran that he uses. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْهُمْ. Because it's so huge. What Allah's trying to tell us, that in this month, if I'm going to forgive and give afu for this kind of matter, then everything else to that that's little than that is nothing. Nothing. These huge matters. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anni. Allah wants to forgive you. Allah, the one you turn to. You say, Ya Rabb, in a hadith al-Qudsi that's Hasan. You say, Ya Rabb, look at the afwa of Allah. You say, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. The angels block you, Ya Rabb. You're probably a sinner. You did something the angels think you're not worth. Allah hearing you, Ya Rabb. But of course, Allah hears it. But this is to teach us a lesson. Ya Rabb, they block it. Ya Rabb, they block it. Ya Rabb, they block it. Allah tells them, until when you're going to block it? Until when you're going to block my servants calling to me? Allah is merciful with us. Until when you're going to block my servants calling to me? Labbaik, Abdi, labbaik, 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 labbaik. You know what Allah, labbaik means? When you go to Hajj, you say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Ya Allah, I'm at your command. Now Allah tells you, I'm at your command. Say it. What do you want? What do you want? Sins you committed? Major sins you committed? Things in this life? Wealth? Degrees? victory to the Muslim? Ask me now. The sky asks Allah in a hadith. I want to collapse down on these people who are sinners in a hadith in Qudsi. The earth says to Allah in a hadith Qudsi, I want to open up and swallow them in. Sinners, sinners, I want to swallow them in. Allah says, no, no, give us permission to destroy them from their sins. The earth can stand us from the sin, but Allah is like a mother with her baby, with her baby. As much as that baby does when he's a teenager, he's in his 20s, and causes his mother so much hardship, the mother always says, may Allah be with you, may Allah help you out, may Allah grant you this, may Allah grant you that, and if she makes the offer, the same is with Allah. Allah wants to forgive you, and this earth wants to destroy you. He's the one who said, if you come to me with sins up to the sky, in a hadith Qudsi, I will forgive you and I don't care. If you come to me with sins that are as much as the sand in this earth and you ask me for forgiveness, I forgive you. Just turn to Allah. That's the mercy of Allah before you regret it. That's why we say it's time to sprint in these last 10 days of Ramadan. In the remaining days of Ramadan, that inshallah Laylatul Qadr will be among the coming up nights. When a Bedouin came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you know all the talking you talk about? The talking you talk about how Allah is going to give us and how Allah is going to judge us on the judgment day and he's going to question us and put us on the balance. Is Allah going to do this himself? Is Allah going to do this himself? The Prophet said, you know, it was meaning, is he going to do it, or angels going to do it, or pious, religious messengers, or maybe people, Allah tells them to do it. Is Allah going to do it himself? He said, yes, Allah is going to do it himself. The Bedouin started laughing. The Prophet said, why are you laughing? Love Allah because he loves you. You know why he laughed? If Allah is going to judge us, he's going to forgive us. You know why? Because if you're generous, he said, the Kareem, when he judges, a generous, when he judges, he forgives. When he has the full power, it's only the cheap, ill-mannered person who, when he has power on others, he retaliates. When the generous and Kareem, Allah, one of his names, that's why you need to know the names and attributes of Allah. The Bedouin truly knew the name and attributes of Allah. When the Kareem judges, he forgives. When he asks and he's supreme, he forgives. أقول هذا لا استغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين أما بعد. My point is, my brothers and my sisters, Allah loves you. This is the time to turn to Allah. If you don't, you don't know. I don't know when anyone is going to turn to Allah. This is it. This is your chance. You don't know if you're going to live tonight. This could be our last Ramadan. We said to a lot of people we know in the past year goodbye. We buried them with our hands. We know. You don't know how young you are or how old you are. Death may come to you. Look and throw yourself at the mercy of Allah, at the mercy of the one who on the judgment day tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in honor of him, look how much they love you. Look how much Allah and the Prophet love you. And look how much we give them their back. Allah's mercy comes down on us and we reject that mercy back to Allah. He tells the Prophet, take out of the hellfire. You know, some people are sin, major sins and persistent on them and they're Muslim, only Muslim. Non-Muslim don't belong in heaven ever, ever. No one who's not says la ilaha illallah will never enter heaven. La ilaha illallah is the key to heaven. No one. Don't listen to those modernists. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be told to go into hell and take out of hell those believers of la ilaha illallah whose balance was more, the sins were more. And he goes and he takes the first group out. And that first group he asks Allah on the arsh. The ones whose deeds, you know, their iman, is as big as a seed of wheat. It's big. If you got this much iman, therefore you're in the first category. And you walk out with the Prophet, I said, I'm from hell for you. He takes them out, the merciful man. And then he says, oh Allah, I want more. More of my ummah. I don't want them in the ummati. Ummati can't stand. He can't stand to live and see them over there in hell for you. The second group come out, and they're at the haqqa. You know, a wheat is this big? Half of that. Half of that. And they come out from hell for you. This hadith is in Bukhari. The third category come out, and he goes down under the arsh, and he begs and pleads, Ya Allah, Ummati, Ummati, in hell for you, I can't stand to see that. And the last are a tiny atom, of iman. Tiny particle, probably unseen. And he takes them out, and then he says, I get shy to ask for anyone after that. You know, if your iman is less than an atom, you got a problem there. But then something else happens. Then Allah's mercy, Allah's afu. That dua we're talking about, Laylatul Qadr. Allahumma innaka afuwan, tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. You said that? You said that? Then look what's coming up. Look what's coming up. You go in front of Allah, and then Allah, you're in hellfire. And then Allah tells those people who are in hellfire, the mercy of my angels is done. The mercy of the messengers is done. The mercy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon you is done. It's my turn. Everyone who just said La ilaha illallah finds your way out. Allahu Akbar. That's the mercy of Allah. You see that? You see the mercy of Allah? He enforced upon himself mercy when no one can enforce it upon him. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. The one who enforced upon mercy upon himself and no one enforced it upon him, have mercy and forgiveness on us in this holy month. Ya Rab, the one who decorated his arsh. You know how he decorated his arsh? His throne where he sits on? Rahmati sadaqat alabi. A slogan on there? My mercy precedes my punishment. Ya Rab, have forgiveness and mercy on us. The one who decorated his throne with my mercy precedes my forgiveness. That's Allah. You stand before Allah on the judgment day and you got sins. One of the hadiths says one person comes with 99 files of sins. Each file, each row of sins is the extent of the eyesight. 30 kilometers, 99. And after he goes through those of all his sins, Allah says to him, everything in there correct? Everything in there correct? Yes, Ya Allah. Did I make a mistake? Or my angels make a mistake? No, Ya Allah. Everything accurate? Yes, Ya Allah. Did you get the message? Yes, Ya Allah. Let's do. Any more things you want to talk about? No, Ya Allah. Imagine yourself in that scenery. And then he stands there. And then Allah says to the angels, bring him a deed that's forgotten over there, back there. Just a form of conversation to teach us. A card. A card. Come and bring that card over. The angels sort of say, no, what's a card going to do to 99 files, each file 30 kilometers long, your eyesight distance? The rap sheet is that long. What's that deed going to do? You know what the answer is? Bring it and let's weigh it. And he puts Allah that balance in the 99 files over there and the balance on this side. And that one card goes all the way down and throws everything out. What's in that card? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. You must have said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah from your hearts. And it will come and overthrow everything else. You see the mercy of Allah. You stand before Allah. Allah loves you. Allah doesn't want to torment you or punish me. You stand before Allah with your files and your sins. And you go with your hadith. These are all hadith. It's not from my pocket or hearsay. These are authentic hadith. You stand before Allah and he tells you, read, read. You read the first thing, your face turns black, sin. Then you read the next one. But first, your face turns white. It's deed. Sin, deed, sin, deed. Until you're done. And then Allah tells, is that it? You got everything there? Everything accurate in there? Yes, Ya Allah. What are you going to do? Contest? So Allah can shut your mouth and have your body parts not for you? No, give it up. Ya Rab, you must have asked Allah for forgiveness. Allah will say to you, replace those sins into deeds and say, read it again. And you read it again, and you see the deed. And then that sin, not erased, replaced into a deed. You must have repented in Ramadan, or you must have done something right in Ramadan. He tells you, come closer, come closer. And he gets you so close, and he doesn't want to embarrass you. And he puts a barrier, hijab, between you and the masses of the people out there. He doesn't want them to have. My servant, do you remember this sin? Yes, yes. You remember this sin? You remember this sin? And when you think that's it, focus with me. Imagine that you're in that setting. And you remember this sin. And that sin, when you think you're doing it, Allah says to you, I made it private for you in the life before, and I forgive it for you today. Go, go. And he tells the masses he hasn't done a sin before. This is the mercy of Allah. This is the love of Allah. I tell you, look how much Allah loves you when he places you in heaven. But you gotta do something in the right step. Don't give up on these last days of Ramadan until you have the Eid declared. Until you have sprint in Ramadan, sprint in your dua, sprint in your dhikr, sprint in your recitation of the Quran, sprint in your learning of the true Islamic knowledge. Allah on the judgment day goes to the people of heaven and he tells him, and the people of heaven, Are you happy? He wants your happiness. Do you need anything? Oh Allah, the reply is, what do we need? After you save us from the blazing hellfire, 3,000 years to turn charcoal black. Oh Allah, you saved us from that hellfire. You whitened our face when you darkened other people's face. We're happy. What do we need? Then the angels say to you, come on, you know where you're going? To meet Allah. Authentic hadith. To meet Allah. And they take you on jets. Jets? Are these kind of jets? Super speedy jets that take you up to Allah. And those jets lead you to the sky, the heaven, where Allah's on top of the arsh. Focus! Visualize this with me. Do you want to be with this category? Or do you want to be with those flying on the other side over there? Come on up, brothers, please. There's a lot of people coming. Move up. There's a whole road there we can use. Focus with me. You're on. You're in over there and you're taking jets to meet Allah. This is not a cartoon, my brothers. This is a reality that you're going to see. You go meet Allah and over there in the seventh heaven, you see spiders, manader, like this. Not of cheap wood, though. Of gold. Category of gold. Ladders around the arsh of Allah. Gold. Categories of silver. Ladders of silver. The worst one, the hadith says, the worst one is those who sit in hilltops of the musk of heaven. That's the worst one. And the hadith says, the ones who are sitting in hilltops of the musk of heaven do not feel they're any less strong than those on the ladders of gold. You want the ladder of gold or do you want the hilltop of musk? You choose it right now. You choose it right now. And then you're standing there and brightness comes out. Brightness comes out. That's not Allah. That's the brightness of Allah. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the brightness of the sky and the earth. The brightness comes out. And they hear a voice. Ya ahl al jannah. Ya ahl al jannah. Allah talking to you. Imagine and focus. Imagine this is a reality. Ya ahl al jannah. Assalamu alaykum. In the whole people of the whole universe of who are granted places in heaven say in one voice, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, wa alayka salam. Do you want to be in that position? Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, wa alayka salam. Oh my servants, what do you need? Allah, make sure you're happy. You know what? Everyone, because the hearts of the people in paradise are on one man. The hadith says, "Ala qalb rajul," means all of them think alike. No one says, "Let's go play soccer in heaven." And the other one says, "No, man, I don't want to play soccer. I want to go play tennis." No, that doesn't work in heaven. Their hearts are one unified body. They say in one voice, "We want you to be pleased with us." Allah's reply. If I wasn't pleased with you, I wouldn't allow you entry into heaven. What else do you need? Allah talking to you. You want that? Now's the time to get it. Now's the time to work for it. The second question. What else do you need? I'm pleased with you. Come on, ask the next question. In one unified verse, we want to see your face. Yes. لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Mazid is more. The more we give them in heaven, the more we give them. And then a barrier between them and Allah's face opens and they see Allah. You want to be among those who see Allah? And they see Allah in a reality, in a way that we don't know today, that they will see Allah in heaven. When they see Allah, they see from the time we were born. And in the time of heaven, we've never felt as good as this moment. That's when they see Allah. They see Allah, then you know what happens? We're not done there. Allah sits and talks to everyone by himself. Everyone, what do you need? What do you need? Ask, I'm going to give you. And then you ask and ask, and you want to ask more so you can talk to Allah more and more and ask. When you're done, Allah says, don't you want this as well? And this is what he starts to listen to. This is a reality, my brothers. You want that? I know you all want that. I know that the same way we met here, we all want to meet over there. On the ladders of gold, it's by Allah's arsh. May Allah grant us that in this holy month. Inshallah, Allah will grant us that. But you have to make effort. So I tell you, the first thing, watch out for these days. Sprint them in du'a. Sprint them in watching for Laylat al-Qadr. Sprint them in asking Allah for forgiveness. Sprint them in asking Allah that your neck be among those who are free in these last 10 days. And I leave you with one last thing. then it's an important thing. You know why Laylatul Qadr was forgotten? It was forgotten because the Prophet came out to tell us. It was forgotten one of the main purpose. So we strive and find it in the many days of Ramadan, not just one day, and we get a lot of ajr. But it was forgotten because two people were arguing, two Muslims were arguing in Ramadan. When the Prophet seen it, he got so mad he forgot it. Allah could choose another way to make his Prophet forgive, but he wants to tell us something. Cleanse your filthy hearts from each other in this Laylatul Qadr. That's what he wants to tell us. Cleanse those filthy hearts. Those filthy hearts, not from the infidels. That's who deserves our hatred. The ones who slaughter and kill us. The ones who massacre us. The ones who annihilate us. The ones who destroy us. Not your brothers. They're not the ones who deserve that kind of animosity. Umar, on the 27th day of Ramadan, used to get up and say, Ya Allah, I want your afu. I want your forgiveness. Not the forgiveness. Afu. Forgiveness is here. Afu is over here. I deliver your forgiveness. I want your afu. In order to get the afu, I make afu on every single Muslim who ever had a confrontation with. Every day in Ramadan, the last days, 10 days, and he stresses it out in the 27th day of Ramadan. Say that in your heart. No. Clean your hearts. Those cults in Islam, you know, we got in Islam, not groups. I don't call them groups. I call them cults. Those deviant cults. Cults who raise people to hate other people because they're not from their cult. Fear Allah. Cleanse those filthy hearts. Cleanse those filthy hearts. They know who I mean. They know what I mean. If you're not from their cult, watch out from him. Why? He's a Catholic? He's a Jew? He raped your mother? What did he do? He's not from your, not groups. They call them groups. They're cults. Cleanse this house right now and today. Before you leave from the masjid today, two people stand before Allah on the judgment day. Those two people stand before Allah on the judgment day. One of them says, oh Allah, get my right back from him. Imagine it. The judge, Allah, two people over there in front of his throne, they tell him, get my right from him. What did he do? He warned of him. He talked of him. He backbit him. He slaughtered his honor. He talked about him. Made false about rumors. Talked about the honor of his sister. Whatever it may be, get my right from him. Allah says, give him the right. What do you want? He says, I want from his deeds. He's a bankrupt man, of course. Someone who talks about, some people claim they're doing effort for the sake of Allah, and all they're doing is stripping themselves of deen. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They went astray, وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ. You think they're doing something righteous. You see them? Grown beard sometimes. Could be, don't let the beard fool you. That's not always a thing you judge people by. Don't let the soul or whatever they wear may fool you. It's what's in the hearts and the ashes that follow. A filthy heart, you know what I call it? Like pus coming out of. When you have a wound and you haven't cleaned it and pus coming out, that's how the hearts are. Time to clean your hearts. Time to clean. I say, Allah is my witness. I forgive every Muslim from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah is my witness. And I've heard the words. I say, Allah is my witness. I forgive them all. Can you say that? It's hard. They stand before Allah, the one who's on the deeds, says, give me some of his deeds. That's what I want. He got no deeds. Then he goes back to him. Where do you want? He got no deeds. Oh Allah, let him take from my sins. And he says, okay, but Allah tells the other partner, because he's merciful with them. He says, look over there. And he looks over there, he sees a huge palace from the precious jewels of heaven hanging from the sky. And he says, who is that for? What martyr? What messenger? What pious person? And the answer is, that's for you. That's for you. That's for you. If you forgive your brother. You know, there was a story, and that's the last thing I'm going to say. The last story is that one, a story that happened recently. A man with his blood brother borrowed some money to open a business. And they were in the business together. After a few days, the blood brother denied it. And this went on when they were against each other and mad against each other. And Laylatul Qadr, and the 10 days come, and he says, what should I do? And he heard the sheikh saying, forgive. And he said, Allah is my witness, I forgive him. $60,000, I forgive him for that which he stripped me, he stamped me off of. My brother, he's my witness, call him up. Brother, all this time, may Allah forgive you with that. It's okay, I want to come and visit you tomorrow. You know what happened? He goes to sleep in the US. When you forgive, your heart becomes clean. You wash that pus out of your heart. That filth. He went to sleep, he's seen in the dream the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam take him by his hand and tell him, come on to heaven. He woke up the next day, his brother said, hey, you're not going to get no ajr off of me, here's your 60,000, come and pick him up. You see what happens when you forgive? You see that? Clean that heart. Ask you that Allah don't leave here and convey this message to those filthy-hearted people. Wallah, we know them. Wallah, we know them. You see them, Allah blackens their faces in the sweat before the life after. They got no business but to gossip and backbite. Dalla sa'yuhum, they're astray, yet they think they're doing good. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, in this holy month, in this holy 10 days, in this holy month, Friday of Ramadan, shower us for you with your forgiveness. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, forgive us. Ya Rab, allow us to be among those who are free from hellfire. Ya Rab, be with us when we die. Ya Rab, aid us when the two angels ask us in our grave. Ya Rab, aid us on the day that's as long as 60,000 years. Ya Rab, allow us entry to heaven with you, Rab. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma sallu ala khatam nabiyin wa imam al-mursaleen. Faqad amarakum allahu bis salatu wa salam alayhi. Faqad, inna allahu wa malaykatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu tazima. Wa qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man salla alayhi wa ahidatan, sallallahu alayhi bi ashra. Allahumma salli wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama salli wa barik ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidu majid. Warda allahumma ala al-arba'at al-khulafa, al-ammat al-hunafa, Abi Bakr al-Siddiq wa Umar al-Faruq wa dhul-Nurayn Uthman wa Abi al-Siddiq alayhi wa an ali bayti nabiyyik al-tayyibin al-tahirin wa an azwajihi ummahat al-mu'minin wa an as-sahabati wa at-tabi'in wa anna ma'hum bimannika wa afwika wa ihsanika ya arhamar rahimin wa aqim as-salah. By the way, the dua I mentioned for Laylat al-Qadr, in the last days you dua, inshallah we made a lot of copies, the brothers will have them outside transliterated in English. You don't have to be on the line, move up, make extra rows in the back. And align your rows, make them straight, please. Now the brother said that the lines are not straight. The Prophet said, I think the battlefield made them straight as they can be.